SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every other week. I'm Cliff East Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
It's so sad because this is like our seventh podcast episode of the season.
Man. Of the season?
Of the season. Bad. That's pretty bad.
Sorry, guys.
We've been so bad.
We've been
so bad.
Busy.
The season's almost over. We're going to talk about playoff stuff today. So,
give us money and then we can do this more.
That's true. That's true.
Although there's no way to even do that, but
I was talking to my tax guy about like the podcast stuff. I was like, "Should I be like an S corp or LLC?" He's like, let's talk about it when you actually make some money."
You don't make money. What's the point?
All right.
This is a hobby, Cliff.
That's exactly what he said. He's like, "You could still write stuff off as a personal person." I was like, "All right. Don't make me depressed."
Oh, man. That's messed up. When the reality check comes from your tax guy.
Yeah. It's really sad. Really sad. All right, Joe. We're going to talk about playoff stuff, but let's start by taking a double step back, looking at the news. A lot of news today because Durant and Kuminga got hurt during layup lines. The fudge? What's going on right now? Also, fun fact, KD has not played in front of Warriors fans since he played there.
Wow. What? He's never played a game there? An away game?
Nope.
Wow.
He was supposed to, but he got injured in the layup line.
He has missed a lot of games. Jeez.
Pretty bad. Joe, Jordan Poole got a tech for bounce passing to a ref.
Yep.
What's going on with refs right now? They are wild right now. Joe, I put a link in here. There was a poster dunk at UCLA called for an offensive foul. Have you seen this?
Yes, I saw it.
That's bad. Joe, have you seen this Division I baseball game that was called for a strike?
I did see it, and that last strike was so bad.
My gosh.
What on earth?
That was crazy.
Was that? That was well outside.
He would have to jump to get it.
I don't think it was. You need to be Mr. Fantastic to get that one. it was way outside the zone. It was outside and low. Like, wow.
It's one of those like almost intentional balls. But wow.
It would have hit a guy if it was hitting on the other side, it would have hit him.
I don't know if it would have hit him. I think it would have gone beyond him.
It would have went past him. If he were left-handed, it would have gone past him. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so bad. It was bad, guys. You got to check it out.
It's pretty bad, Joe. The refs are wild right now. Joe, Giannis started a scrum. Trey Lyles, B-Lo getting the brunt of it. The Kings say, "We're not getting punked. We're not taking no sh," to quote Mike Brown. And they say, if Giannis just dribbled the ball out, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Joe, what's going on right now?
I don't know. Everyone's going crazy. It's just, I don't know. Everyone's going crazy. But, you know, it's getting close to playoffs. There are a lot of, I feel like there are a lot of rookies out there right now. Like, not rookies in the sense of they're literal rookies, but they're like new to the league. New to the playoffs, like new situations.
Yeah.
Seems like there's some rookie refs out there. And maybe that's it. But also, I don't know. The whole world is going crazy.
I think everyone needs counseling.
I think that's what's going on.
I think what's interesting is the Gen X NBA basketball players and the boomer basketball players were like all about like rivalries, they don't like each other, all that stuff. The millennial generation of NBA basketball players wanted to all be friends and slash passive aggressive stuff. This Gen Z group is feisty. They're feisty. And so maybe we're in a new era of basketball where it reverts to rivalries. Just as Lucas said. Yeah.
But to me, Cliff, it's beyond rivalries. Mm. Gen X was more like, we got rivalries, but at the end of the day, you know.
We're professionals.
We're professionals. Yeah. Gen Z is like, I'm going to kill your family. Like, I'm going to meet you outside and, like, bomb your car. Like, it's a little too crazy. I think everyone just needs to chill out a little bit. Remember that it's a collective, right? It's a collective. You guys are all one kind of, product together, the NBA. And so everyone's got to work together, be friends. Rivalry on the court is cool, but when it gets off the court, it's a little too crazy.
Like all the Twitter talk?
Like waving around a gun in a strip club.
Speaking of that, Ja Morant with his Gilbert Arenas moment. I really didn't want to talk about this because it's like a little much.
I mean, it's news.
A little much. But he's out indefinitely. He's getting counseling now, and it's seemingly unlikely that he's going to be back this season, Joe.
He's not coming back. Gilbert Arenas ended that. Guess whose fantasy team Ja is on, Cliff? Mine, of course. Just as I had Gilbert in his gun season.
It comes full circle. He
comes back after the suspension and does the finger guns in the huddle.
Oh, no.
I don't
he
know if you
didn't learn
that,
anything.
He didn't learn anything. Finger guns in the pregame. All the guys fall down. And then comes down the second suspension that truly ends the season. And so, look, Ja, get help. And we want you to get better. Okay, I'm not being a human about it. We care about you. Want you to get better. Please don't do this crazy stuff. All Gen Zers, God loves you and you're valuable. And
we're going here. Joe's bringing his real job into this.
Don't do these crazy things, please. There's too much of it. Let's just enjoy basketball.
All right, let's get into it. Playoffs are just around the corner. Who are the real contenders? Who are the pretenders? Joe, we're going to play a game we haven't played in a long time. I don't even know if we played this season. But the original game we've created, definitely maybe. Joe, as a reminder, because we haven't played in so long, and for the listeners and the people, you only get one maybe throughout the course of all these questions. So, Joe, let's start with the Eastern Conference. The Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Cavs are atop the East, the top four seeds. Joe, definitely maybe the Celtics are the most likely Eastern Conference champions.
Obviously, definitely not.
Oh.
Yeah.
They were your pick!
No, not to win the East, to be the one seed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But, that looks also unlikely at this point. But they're not looking good right now, though, especially. Yeah, so if you look on the whole season, they still look okay. They're like second in net rating.
Yeah.
It seems like they're still good. They're there. But if you dig a little deeper into like post All-Star or even if you just look like the last 10 games, they're 5-5. They're 12th in net rating. They're down to 1.1. Cliff, something that is much more concerning to me, though, for the Celtics, because it's the Celtics, clutch time stats.
Oh, right? Yes. We talked about this last season.
Yeah, so last 10 games, they have 9 clutch games. I mean, 9 games with clutch time, which in and of itself is kind of concerning, right? They're 5-4, which they've pulled out. Now, one of those losses was to Houston, where Jason Tatum had a freaking layup at the end of the game and missed. Cliff, they're plus minus in clutch time, minus 0.4.
Minus 0.4.
Just for reference, Philly is number one in the past 10 games, plus 4.6.
They've been awesome.
They've been awesome. And they're in the East. Milwaukee's fourth at plus 3.4. Boston 16th at minus 0.4. So the fact that they've even won 5 of those 9 games is kind of impressive, because overall they're negative. But I don't know, Cliff, that's that kind of old worries that I have, fears that I always had from last season, and somehow they found a way to kind of get through. And it could have gone one of two ways, right? It could be this season where it's proven that yes, they grew, right? They had some struggles in clutch time, but they've grown, they've become more mature, they got to the finals, so now they're going to advance and be even better. And that's what I thought to start the season. But unfortunately, right now, as we're getting closer to the playoffs, it seems like they're regressing back to a little bit confused, a little bit unsure of what to do. Even throughout this season, as good as they've looked for periods, they still have those weird offensive stretches where they can't score, which is so weird because now they have Derek White, they have Malcolm Brogdon, they have so much firepower, but they just go through these weird stretches where Tatum is off, where Jaylen Brown starts turning the ball over like nonstop, and they got to rely on Horford to bail them out. Like, how many times is that going to happen?
It's not a winning strategy.
It's a little worrisome, as opposed to you look at the Bucks, and you'll talk about the Bucks a little bit more, but I mean, look, they just been there, done that.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'll say about the Bucks, because I'm sure you'll talk about Giannis, Brolo playing out of his mind this season.
Brolo. Oh my gosh.
Brolo's crazy.
So good.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go definitely not. I got the Bucks.
Yeah. The Bucks, they have the best player in the NBA. Giannis is the best player in the NBA, even though he does weird things, like try to get a triple-double, even though that's way beneath him, like dribbling it all the way into Trey Lyles. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why?
He's kind of trolling, I feel like.
Yeah, I like the dribbling into Trey Lyles more than I like the triple-double. Yeah. I'm just like, what are you doing?
I like them both. I think it's kind of, it's funny.
Yeah, it's true. It is kind of funny. He's such a... I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? Okay. It's fine. But look, they are the same team. The same team that's been around the block, right? The one addition that they've made, which I really, really like, is Jay Crowder, who is a heavyweight contender piece. Like the Shane Battiers that came before him, like the Bruce Bowens that came before him, like the Tayshaun Princes. He is one of those pieces, championship pieces that you can put in. He's tough, plays defense, and he shoots threes.
Yeah.
He's been to three conference finals in a row, and two of the last three finals Jay Crowder has played in. He hasn't won.
Nice.
He hasn't won, but he's played in them. But he's not a best player kind of person, but he's a chemistry adder, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he plays tough. He does all of these
things. A good
guy
to have. Yeah.
The thing with the Celtics is Jason Tatum has to be better than Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's what the Celtics have to do. Because the Celtics, just like the Bucks, cohesive, have really good secondary player. Like really good secondary player. Better than the Bucks secondary player, you know?
Right.
They have a cohesive group. They have a Jay Crowder kind of piece, Marcus Smart. They have good offensive firepower, right? They have the stability pieces. They have length. They have all of this stuff, just like the Bucks do. The Bucks question mark is Middleton ready?
Yeah.
Is Middleton ready, or is Drew Holiday ascending him into the clutch time person, which he has done this season?
He has. Yeah. He's
done
gotten,
that this season.
He has.
He's better. He's
Since
better
he
this
won
season.
The championship, he has been
confident.
That changed him. Yeah. I think it changed his offense a little bit. Yeah. He's more confident. He has fewer of those terrible games that he used to have all the time.
All the time. Where he gets you like 20 points in daily fantasy.
He's become much more consistent, is what I'll say. Because he's always been capable, obviously. He's always had ability. But his confidence, I think, in his shot and just in his offense in general would kind of wane. He never waned on defense. He's always been a defensive stopper. But on offense, he was not always aggressive. I think he has become much more aggressive, and that's made him much more consistent. But one thing I wanted to comment on what you were saying about Tatum. But don't you think Tatum wasn't the best player in almost all the series last year?
He wasn't.
Because I think Jimmy Butler outplayed him. I think Giannis outplayed him. But the Celtics still managed to win those series because their team is better. Jaylen Brown, nobody can match Jaylen Brown as a second guy on any of those teams. Yeah, and even if, Philly, who's been playing amazing, and Embiid is playing out of his mind, I still think Harden's gonna suck.
I think
he's still gonna choke when it comes to the time where you truly need him. And if that's the case, then I still think the Celtics, they could just be okay, right? Like, I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I also agree with the Bucks, but that's what I thought last year, where I was like, for them to get all the way to the finals, Tatum needs to be the best player at every series. But he was almost not the best player in any series. Like, he outplayed KD in the first round.
Yeah.
Right? But that turned out to just be a debacle on Brooklyn's part, and they made no adjustments. Because Steve Nash said after the first game, I'll remind everyone what Steve Nash said. Steve Nash said after the first game, they said, are you going to make any adjustments? And he was like, well, we don't need to make adjustments because none of the stuff that we were trying to do, like, we got to do. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? That means they prevented you from running any of the stuff that you wanted to run, and your solution is we're not going to make adjustments? And predictably, it was only worse from there, right, Cliff? It just got worse and worse and worse after game one. Anyway, anytime I can bring up Steve Nash, I like bringing it up. But, so I don't know about the Tatum thing. In some ways, maybe it's more on Jaylen Brown. He kind of is the more consistent player. Consistently will give you 25. Tatum will give you 10 some games, and he'll give you 45 some games. Right? That's a big variance.
I don't discount what you're saying. It's true. I think the difference, though, this year there's expectations.
Mm.
That's the difference. And so, you know, when the pressure's on, is your guy going to be able to step up? And I'm not saying he's got to, like, dominate Giannis or whatever. But he's got to match it. Like, you got to look at him and be like, okay, you're like one-to-one with this guy. You know, like, there's got to be an argument, you know?
Yeah. No, I
agree. He can't crumble.
I think the thing about Tatum, I don't know if he crumbles. Like, I don't think he's a choker. I just think when I see Giannis at the end of a game, when I see Luka at the end of a game, when I see Steph at the end of a game, when I see even, like, Ja at the end of a game, you know, when I see those guys, Embiid, it's kind of like, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying they're going to make every shot. They're not going to make every shot. But it's like this.
You know what they're going to do.
Yeah. And it's kind of a consistent offense at this point. And I know what shot they want. And I know if they get it in an advantageous position, more often than not, they are going to make it.
Sure.
Right. Whereas with Tatum, it's kind of like it's a little bit random.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you'll get that step back three. And sometimes it's well contested and he swishes it. And sometimes he gets the shot he wants and he, like, airballs it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Or it's like the Rockets game. He got the layup he wanted and it went off the backboard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like an unlucky rollout. Because that happens. Sometimes you miss, right? But when it's off the backboard and it doesn't hit the rim. You know, that to me, like, for a superstar to get the look you want and then miss that bad, it's a little concerning. It's a little bit like, I feel like at this point in your, if you are that guy that's going to lead a team to the championship, you can get unlucky. It can rim out, you know, it can toilet bowl and then fall out. It can bounce, bounce, bounce and fall out rather than falling in like the Kawhi. You know, that's the luck of the game. That's, you know, that 0.1% that you can't really control, right?
The basketball justice. The basketball gods.
Yeah. But if you're off the backboard or airballing, that's not that's not unlucky, right? Like, those are the hardest misses, you know, like in the clutch. Those are bad. That's not
or the Westbrook misses in regular season.
Exactly. That's just bad. Like that means somehow you're not as consistent, you know, as you're supposed to be. And so, to me, that is a little bit concerning. This clutch thing is a little bit concerning. We'll see if it comes into play this season or if they just get by like they did last season.
This is the, I think, the secret behind all of that and why Tatum struggled. I don't think his bag is deep.
Mm.
His bag is not deep. So
but
he
he's got
only
sidestep left and sidestep right.
Does he have right?
He does. Is that right? Is the one he usually does, actually.
Oh, I'm thinking
he
about
added
LeBron.
The left.
I'm thinking about LeBron.
Yeah,
LeBron is left.
He didn't do the left as much, but he does the left more now.
His bag is not deep. And so when you get a good defender on him, like.
That's kind of true, actually.
It's
not like Jaylen Brown's bag. Dude, Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown has a deep bag. But then he also leads him to turnovers because he's like, which one should I do right now?
Too many options. Yeah,
right?
Too many options. Yeah.
And so I get having a go-to move. That was my AD like thing, right? Back in the day when he was in New Orleans. I was like, the problem with Anthony Davis is he doesn't know what to do. Like, he's like so good at everything. He just like needs a go-to move. Tatum has a go-to move, but everyone knows the go-to move. If you're going to do Rasengan every single time, they know, okay?
You got to throw in a little Kagebunshin at least. You know?
Yeah, but...
come from the side.
Do it smart.
You know? Do it smart.
But that's the thing, right? But if you watch Naruto, Rasengan always prevails somehow, right? And so... if you're going to do that, you have to be better than them knowing that you're going to do that. And sometimes it ends up with Rasengan on the ground and not in the person off the backboard, you know? And so that's why I'm saying she's got to be, you know, good enough. You know, he's got to be good enough.
Agreed.
Good enough against Giannis. So moving on, Joe, let's talk about maybe one of these four teams struggling in the first round. Joe, definitely, maybe the Cavs will be the one to most likely struggle in the first round.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah. I think because of those four teams, Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Cavs. I don't know why I mixed that up. The Cavs will most likely have the toughest opponent. And also, they don't have as much experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, look, Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers, every season we've talked about those three teams the East.
It's true.
And the Sixers of all of those teams have disappointed the most, but they had Ben Simmons for a lot of that time. And then they had Harden, and so they had some excuses. And they had Doc Rivers, and so there were always reasons. But I think you know, the Cavs coming into like a newer situation. I don't think they'll lose in the first round, but I do think they will most likely struggle the most.
One note, okay? The Sixers with Embiid, they're 0-4 in the semis. But they are 4-1 in the first round. But I will tell you, they don't want to play Jimmy Butler, okay? He owns them.
Dude.
He owns their soul. You don't want to play Jimmy Butler. But honestly, most likely, they're not going to.
I don't think anyone wants to play Jimmy Butler. Maybe the Bucks. The Bucks will have no problem with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they don't care.
But I think the Celtics might have a little fear of Jimmy Butler as well.
Yeah, look, the Sixers don't want to play Jimmy Butler. But I don't think they're going to end up playing Jimmy Butler. And so you're right. The Cavs will most likely struggle, definitely, in the first round because they're going to play the Knicks. And the Knicks are a good team. Like, for all the trash we've talked about them, they were on a 9-game winning streak recently, but they also went on a 3-game losing streak because Brunson is hurt.
Give the Knicks
some
props. Yeah, let's give the Knicks some props. They deserve it. They're playing better. They were playing very well. Julius Randle's looking actually like more of a legitimate all-star at this point than kind of the Jamal McGlure guy.
He's playing the strong game that we knew he should, like the bully game. He's strong, you know, the Karl Malone-ish.
However, I don't think the Knicks will get out of the first round, and they have been lucky. That Miami game winner, that's like
that was pinnacle Knicks.
That's
pinnacle Knicks, Julius Randle.
I mean, literally, Jimmy turnover. Shuts him down. Turns him over, basically, and then he just grabs the ball and step back three. I mean, look, give him credit, but I don't foresee that happening a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of the Knicks, let's talk about the non-mainstream player to watch. Joe, definitely maybe. Jalen Brunson is the non-mainstream player to have your eye on in the East.
I'm going to go definitely.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Jalen Brunson actually, I mean, hopefully he's all good.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be all healthy for sure. And everything.
We hate injuries.
But I do think Jalen Brunson, he's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does present a lot of problems. Yeah. I think he is underrated as a defender because people think that they can just kind of punk him, you know, but it hasn't worked. You know, it's kind of like the Steph thing. It's when you get into this, you're trying to get switches and then you're always trying to, you know, you're trying to pick on a guy like a smaller player. But it doesn't work that often unless you have like a Shaq, you know, who's just going to dominate. You know,
yeah,
and there's no players like that literally in the NBA right now.
Zion,
yeah, it would, but I mean, look, Zion,
but he averages 28 healthy, games a season. Is that crazy? 28.
I mean, look, Zion can basically bully anybody though, so you don't need to hunt mismatches, honestly. Is there a guy that Zion really can't bully? Maybe Giannis, like, there's probably a couple guys Steven out Adams. There, but. Yeah, Steven. No one can bully Steven Adams. That's for sure. But look, if he gave Steven Adams a ball, what's he going to do against Jalen Brunson? Nothing.
That's true.
Like, Rudy Gobert ain't going to do nothing. Like, none of these guys are going to do nothing.
Why you got to bring him into this?
Dude, I don't know. He's the first guy.
Caught a stray. Caught a stray. Rudy, we just wronged you on this.
A guy who can do nothing. I mean, look. And Jalen Brunson on offense... I mean, if he plays like he played before he got hurt, this dude's unguardable.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty ridiculously amazing. He's good. And you saw flashes of it in Dallas, and I think people were hating on Phoenix because they're like, oh my gosh, like, why are you letting Jalen Brunson kill
you? Yeah,
you
can't stop him. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
but look at him now, man. Nobody can stop him. So I do think, and look, if the Knicks have any chance of getting out of the first round, it's going to be on Jalen Brunson's back. Julius Randle has shown he's not really
RJ Barrett big-time has performer. Shown.
RJ Barrett has shown that he is wildly inconsistent, you know, and his shot really comes and goes.
His cap is championship Andrew Wiggins. That's his cap.
Yes, that is his cap. That is his cap, which is not a terrible cap, honestly.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Third most important like player.
He could be a third guy, you know, best wing defender, hit some clutch shots. Yeah. Yep. But, I mean, Jalen Brunson is weirdly, I mean, he's their best player, but he's also kind of their X factor. Weirdly. I don't know how that works. That probably shouldn't work like that. But, yeah, it's going to be on him. If they have any chance of getting out of the first round, I think it will be on him. So I think he's a good guy to keep your eye on.
Definitely not for me, because give me my boy Mikal Bridges. I like Mikal Bridges. I think this dude is for real. He scored 30-plus and won the games in 5 of the last 6 games he's played with regular minutes. And his points coming from everywhere. He's coming mid-range, inside, outside. He's 46% from 3. Clint. His splits are 51, 46, 89.
Yeah. So, yeah. Look, I like Mikal. I think he's way better than I ever thought he was as an offensive player.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pour a little cold water on this note. Like, do you think Brooklyn has any chance of making noise?
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be amazing.
Okay, I know. Actually, I know that this is another question.
Yeah.
We'll merge them since I know this is another question.
Yeah.
Cliff, I'm gonna pour a little cold water on this. Okay.
Okay.
Mikal Bridges is not gonna shoot 46% from 3. Oh. He can't keep this up, Cliff. This would make him like the greatest 3-point shooter of all time. Okay. Look,
he's coming.
Herder was shooting this early in the season. He was shooting like 48%, 46% from 3. Yeah. And then he just fell off a cliff. He went on a crazy slump heading into All-Star break where he got like 8 points or so. Like, he had some terrible round in the 3-point contest, Cliff, because that's what happens, okay? It's just the law of averages. Look, right now, nobody scouts Brooklyn.
Nobody. Okay.
Nobody scouts Brooklyn. Players don't watch film on Brooklyn. Coaches don't even prepare for games against
Brooklyn. Doc Rivers is not going to scout them, okay? Cliff, he doesn't know what to do.
Cam Thomas was dropping 40 points a game, okay?
He's a beast.
Multiple games. And what is Cam Thomas doing now, Cliff? He's barely getting into the games.
He's not in the rotation.
So look, is Mikal Bridges a legit offensive player? Yeah, he's much better than people thought. I think he's a 20-plus scorer. Is he 26, 5, 3 on 51 from the field and 46 from 3?
Oh my God, those numbers! No,
he's not. Okay, this is what happens when you get a lot more responsibility, you go to a team that doesn't care, and nobody's scouting you. These are NBA players, Cliff. They can all get hot and go crazy, right? I mean, Jeremy Lin was like the best player in the NBA for like for a 13 game
stretch.
I mean,
yeah.
He outdueled Kobe, okay, at the Garden, like literally. And so, is Jeremy Lin better than Kobe? You know, was he at any point in his career? No, he's a legit. Was he a legit NBA player and a lot better than people thought? Yeah, yeah. He was. But let's not get too crazy on Mikal Bridges.
Joe, definitely maybe the Heat will make the most noise of the bottom 5 to 10 teams.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Cliff, I mean, I don't know if they'll win in the first round, but they have the best chance for sure. Mm. Like to upset, I mean. They have the best chance to upset. They have Jimmy Butler. And that is really all you need, okay? You have Jimmy Butler. And look, they're fine. Like, they're the same team. They have some continuity. Kyle Lowry took a long vacation where he missed, like, all the games. He's coming back.
What are you doing,
dude? He's probably going to work his way back into shape just in time for the playoffs. Okay, and then, yeah, they'll have Kyle. They'll have Tyler Hero, who's been under the radar just playing fine.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo. They have their same guys, you know, the Gabe Vincents of the world, the Struces of the world, like those guys who just play tough. And
Duncan Robinson's around.
Well, Duncan Robinson is not around, but
he's at the facility.
He's nowhere to be seen on the court, Cliff. And I think Jimmy, like playoff Jimmy is a thing.
Yes.
Playoff P is not a thing. Playoff Jimmy is a thing. We have seen it time and time and time again. And by the way, Cliff, last 10 games, clutch numbers, Miami Heat, plus minus 1.1, they're eighth. They're up there, okay? I'm going to assume you have Brooklyn.
Before that. The amazing thing about Miami is that Jimmy Butler can be the best player in any playoff series. He has that ability, right? We talked about Tatum, like he has to be toe-to-toe with Giannis. Jimmy can go toe-to-toe with Giannis in a playoff series, which is an insane thing. Wherever you have him in the top 20, he better be top 20 NBA players, you know, he can be the best player in any series against any player. Any player. In the NBA, in that one playoff series, Jimmy Butler can be the best. We saw him do it against LeBron in 2020.
He was the best player in that series.
We saw him do it against KD. Wait, did we do
He did it against Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum. He did it against Tatum, and he did it against Giannis for sure. I don't remember if he did it against KD. But
and if they play Philly, he's going to do it against Embiid.
And so... Look, that's the most logical choice, okay? That is the most logical. But give me Brooklyn, okay? Give me Brooklyn. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think they might take Philly to 7 games. They're supposed to be tanking right now. The team has energy, talent, underdog mentality, clutch players.
Here's my prediction for Brooklyn, Cliff.
Okay.
They're going to get destroyed. They're going to get utterly destroyed in the playoffs. When... the coaches and the teams start scouting them and watching film on them because it's actually important and it's going to matter. I just think they're going to get destroyed. They have a terrible home court, and it's only must have gotten worse since KD and Kyrie are gone. And Cliff, you know how I said clutch, right?
Yeah.
Clutch stats. Past, so since the All-Star break, basically, right? Brooklyn, last in the league. Minus six in clutch time. It's only 5 minutes. It's only the last 5 minutes of the game. They're minus six in games that are 5 points or closer. Because they don't have, like, closers. They don't have stars. And, you know, in the playoffs, stars matter. I think Mikhail is great. I don't think he's a star. I think they're going to get basically just annihilated. They might win a game. I think if they win, it'll be like game one. It'll be like one of those, or, you know, maybe a game three, but probably not. I think it'll be game one if they win. It'll be like they catch them off guard. Team comes unprepared, you know, and they just out hustled, outworked, and then they lose game one. And then, you know, the team gets itself together and then they just like steamroll them the rest of the way. That's what I think.
I think maybe. They go. Philly goes up 3-1, and then something happens.
No. Not to Brooklyn.
Something happens.
That could happen to Miami. I cannot
and
see
the
it
guy that's lost 2-3-1 leads.
Second round, Cliff. Second round. And I can't wait till they're up 3-1 in the second round. I can't wait.
All right, let's move forward to the West, because the West is wide open, as our boy Ja Morant says, I'm good in the West. Joe, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento Suns are the top four seeds in the West. Joe, the Nuggets are the most likely Western Conference champion.
I mean, I'll say yes by like 1%. Yeah, by a hair. They are looking great right now. They're looking pretty terrible, actually.
So bad right now.
But suddenly they just look bad. I think Jokic feels bad winning three MVPs in a row. That's what I think. I think he's like, nah, I don't want to win three MVPs in a row. I don't want to be in a conversation with Larry Bird and Bill Russell. And I'm just going to tank so Embiid can get it. Or maybe Giannis. I don't know. But it's looking very much like that door has opened, and now it's like, okay, you know, he doesn't have to get it. Like the way that they're playing right now, that door is wide open now. And so I think he's not going to get it, actually, because of what's happening right now.
They're on a 4-game losing streak. They lost to the Spurs, the Bulls, the Raptors. The Nets are legit, though. Nets are legit.
Cliff, to me, that's four terrible losses. Four terrible losses. Like, if they cared. I mean, yes, they're way up. You know, so they're not super incentivized. Yeah. But this isn't good. Yeah. Like, when even though you're way up and you have no reason to win, I mean, obviously you want to win as many games as you can. And also, it's just, I'm never a fan of, like, it's the same reason I'm not a fan of tanking. Because I'm not a fan of, like, losing.
Yeah, in general.
And then thinking, like, oh, we could turn it on when it's time. You know, it's like, you're creating certain habits and mentalities and psychologies by allowing this to happen. And that's not good. Yeah. Right? Because if you go, like, if you go into the playoffs on a, out of the last 10, you're like 3-7 in your last 10.
Yeah.
You know, when you get down in a game, you don't have this thought of like, oh no, don't worry. Like, we're fine. We can come back and win because that's what we've done, you know, 60 times this season. Like, nope. You're going to start thinking like, oh shoot, is this going to be like the Spurs? You know, it's going to be like the Nets game where like we really should have won, but we just threw the game away. Like, I mean, so I don't know. I don't like it. And to me, I didn't like them that much before, but now I really just think he almost by process of elimination, yes, because they have all their players and they're healthy and they have continuity and they're the one seed. It's like, I mean, you got it. That all has to account for something, but I don't love them. They're just, yeah, I guess I'll say maybe. I'll use my maybe. I'll say maybe.
Okay.
What do you think?
I would have said not if KD was healthy. Mm. Regardless of how the Suns played, I would have said the Suns. Because Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are two freaking clutch guys.
Yeah.
And guys that can get baskets at any time. The problem that I have with Denver always is that they're playing the Kobe Shaq role, right? Like, Jokic carries it all the way to the end. Jamal Murray closes the game. Mm-hmm. But Jamal Murray is just, he hasn't been that great, honestly.
Yeah.
He hasn't, like, turned it up. He hasn't exploded. He hasn't improved. A lot of it is because he was hurt for such a long time.
Yeah.
And I get that. But I don't feel good about it. You know, like, yeah. I'm not like, wow, they're, like, blowing me away with this stuff. You know, because – and that's the problem that everyone has kind of with Jokic is that he is so amazing as a basketball player, but he's not their closer. You know, and that's just such a limiting factor for an NBA, like you're not going to be an NBA dynasty like that. You could be an NBA champion, but I don't know about dynasty, you know? And so it just doesn't feel good. And of course you got MPJ, who's just this black hole, who's one of our favorite players on this podcast because he averages like such little assists. It's incredible. But you're right. It's process of elimination. But that's why the West is wide open. And that's also why Ja Morant said, I'm good in the West, is because, like, there isn't really a standout, honestly. There isn't really a standout. So let's move on from that question. Well, I'll use my maybe there, too.
Okay.
Sacramento Kings are the most likely team to struggle in the first round, Joe. Definitely maybe. Well, definitely not now.
Of these teams, Denver, Memphis, Sac, and the Suns?
Yeah.
Sacramento will be the most likely to struggle in the first. Who would they play? Who could they play?
Right now, they're slotted to play the Clippers.
Oh, then definitely. Yeah, if Sac plays the Clippers, they might lose. They probably will lose, actually.
Yeah.
Not might lose. They probably will lose. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. Like, Memphis doesn't have their star.
Yeah.
Okay. The Suns don't have their best player. And yeah. They traded away, you know, all their other players.
Yeah.
And then.
And Sacramento's just coming out of obscurity.
They haven't been in the playoffs.
In 16 years.
16 years. This is their first playoffs in 16 years. This will be De'Aaron Fox's first playoff appearance.
Since he was drafted, I think in 2017.
I think you can't really prepare for that. And then they're going to have to play maybe the Clippers, maybe the Warriors, maybe the Lakers.
Honestly,
I like any of those teams over Sacramento. Maybe the Mavs. Like, what if the Mavs get healthy and then they're slotted somehow into the sixth spot and they're playing the King? I like the Mavs in that series. I like almost any team over the Sacramento.
Yep.
Because they have these veterans who've been there, done that.
Yep.
I mean, do I like Steph, Clay, Dre, and then maybe a healthy Wiggins back versus De'Aaron Fox? And Sabonis. Yeah, I like the Warriors. Yeah. Do I like Kawhi and PG against the Kings in the first round? Yeah, I like Kawhi and PG. I like LeBron and AD and D'Lo. Freaking revitalized D'Lo, who is like amazing all of a sudden. I like Luka and Kyrie. I mean, I don't like them going deep, but I like them beating the Kings. So it's unfortunately, I think for the Kings, they are a jump shooting team. They shoot a ton of threes. They have a lot of shooters. But do I trust Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk to, like, tear it up in the playoffs?
And Mike Brown.
Man, that's a tall order. And then you got to lean heavily on De'Aaron Fox, who is his first playoff appearance, going up against, like, Steph or LeBron or Kawhi. Oh, man.
Four-time NBA champions. Order. Two-time NBA champions. It is
that's a tall order. That's a tall order. So,
but the real question, because we know Sac will struggle, is Memphis going to struggle more? I think those are the two question marks right now. I don't think so,
only because I feel like...
They've been there.
Yeah. It's the first round. They'll have home court, and their home court is pretty strong. I mean, the Kings have a great home court.
Kings have a great home court, too.
You know, that is to their favor.
Light the beam.
Light the freaking beam. Yeah, I mean, I think the Grizzlies, yeah, they have more experience. So I do think, and they play with more of a chip on their shoulder. I think they're less likely basically to like come up small, you know, to like be intimidated.
Yeah.
And so that's going to help them. That's going to be in their favor. And Ja might be back, honestly.
Yeah.
For the playoffs. I don't know if he will. He probably won't be. But if the Grizzlies look at the landscape of the NBA, you know, I don't know how this is going to go and what's really going on with Ja. But if they look, man, this is really a good opportunity for them to make a deep run.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that'll be a factor or if it should be, but it might be. And so.
Well.
I do have to agree. I have to agree that it's probably the Kings.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Kings. You know, this is one of those things where you have to overturn a call like with clear evidence, and there's not clear evidence here because I'm leaning one way or another. But like, yeah,
right.
Both Memphis and Sacramento are high likely candidates to lose in the first round, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
Golden State,
agree.
The Clips. The Lakers and the Mavs are all going to be there, you know? The one that plays the Nuggets and the one that plays the Suns, they're going to be sad. They're going to be like, oh, no, should have tanked or should have gotten better so I could have played Sac or Memphis.
Should have moved up or down, yeah.
Yep.
So you could get, so, man, that's a big difference.
It's a big difference, right? Playing the Nuggets at full strength, playing the Suns maybe at full strength. Those are tough
versus
teams.
Versus playing Memphis without Ja.
Ja Morant.
Or playing the Kings. Who like not been to the playoffs in 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who have Mike Brown as their coach?
Who have Mike Brown as their coach? Like, how many adjustments is he going to make?
He's going to make three, Cliff. He has them prepared. He's three adjustments.
Joe.
And once those run out, it's over. It's just game over. Used all your items, and then it's over, you know?
Joe is the mainstream, non-mainstream player to watch. Definitely, maybe, SGA.
I mean, is SGA going to make it? Are they going to make it? No, I'm being serious, though. Are they going to make it? They should make it. But it's very close.
Yeah.
It's very close. I mean, I'm high on the Lakers making it at this point. Honestly, I don't know. The Mavs might fall out because...
Yeah,
Luka and Kyrie both aren't playing.
Yeah, they're hurt.
And I'm not sure they want to play.
And that team is
Kyrie suddenly is hurt, Cliff. What did I say, man? Like, this guy, it's just, how much do they want to even be in the playoffs, Cliff? Mm. Like, Luka is not happy, right?
Yeah.
And I know it's crazy to say that Kyrie has made the Mavericks worse, but I mean... Cool. Look what's happened. It's like, yes, he's not playing all the time, but I mean, they're just like imploding.
Yeah.
And so maybe the Mavericks won't make it. If SGA does make it, if they do make it,
non-mainstream.
Is SGA not mainstream?
I don't think so. Is a casual going to know SGA?
Mm.
A casual?
I mean, depends how casual.
Not like
I'll go for sure not mainstream, Cliff. I'll go for sure not mainstream. Since we don't know which of these teams are going to make it, right?
Okay.
I'll go Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, the mark! Markkanen. Oh, I love me some Lauri.
Because
the
he
new
is
Dirk.
For sure not mainstream. Trust me, eh? There's no casual on earth who knows who Lauri Markkanen is.
Dude, I love his game.
And dude, what the heck? We got to give him let me just give him some love right now.
Give him some love, please. Please.
Just give me 1 second here. Let me pull up his numbers. Dude. Cliff. 15-6-1. Those were his stats last season. 15-6-1. He went from 15-6-1 to 25-9-2, 51% shooting, 40% from three, 87 from the line. He's almost having a 50-40-90 season. 25-9-2 on almost 50-40-90. Basically 51-40-87. In one season, he made that jump.
insane.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And Utah is basically supposed to be like the worst team in the NBA. They traded away everybody. They traded away everybody they had. Except for Clarkson. Like, they literally traded everybody else. Conley, oh, and they kept their Uber Donovan. Superstar. They kept their Uber superstar, though, Cliff. THT.
No, they traded for him.
The future of the NBA. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they traded for him. But they got the future of the NBA on
He's
their
playing
team.
Well, though. He's playing
THT.
Well.
THT.
Of course.
Cliff, but what do you think his season numbers are?
THT?
Yeah.
Nine, 3-3.
Okay, how does that constitute playing well?
It's better than before.
Exactly his stuff. He's 9-3-3 on 42% shoot. Clint, why does anybody give this guy any kind of credit just because LeBron said he's good one time? Because he tweeted that he's good. Dude, I swear, he gets the LaMelo treatment on the broadcast, Cliff. Every time he makes a pass, they're like, oh, wow.
THD.
Talen Horton. What an amazing drive and finish. And that's what he brings to the game. He is really just so good. Bro, I mean, you're praising this 9-3-3 guy. Are you serious? How many 9-3-3 players are there in the NBA that get this treatment? That get that treatment? That get the Charlotte Hornets on Terry Rozier treatment? Come on. Anyway, Lowry. I'm going to go with Lowry.
All right.
25-9-2. Excited to see what he would do in the playoffs. I think he'll surprise a lot of people.
Give me SGA. Okay? Give me SGA. I think...
I mean, SJ is a beast, but
he is,
I just don't think he's non-mainstream. I think he's mainstream.
I see. Okay. Fine.
That's fine. I mean, you could go with SJ. He has sick numbers.
Yeah. Well, just so that people know, 31-5-6-2-1. Oh, he does. It's not rounding up. With his block, 51%, 35%, 91%. Insane splits.
He's amazing.
Insane.
He's like
splits.
He's like he's like the high IQ, totally unlocked Super Saiyan version of Dennis Schroeder.
I was gonna say he's kind of like Baron Davis to me. Like not the big Baron Davis.
Yeah, that's the one I keep thinking of.
Not the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, post up Baron Davis.
Yeah.
But like
young, maneuvering,
explosive.
I feel like he's quicker than Baron Davis, which is crazy to say because Baron Davis was very quick. Baron Davis was a little more like a DSJ, you know? He had a little more of that physical power. I feel like, dude, SGA is so fast.
He is.
He gets in the lane so easily, and he finishes so, like, smooth.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Shooter, honestly. Shooter gets into the lane at will, but then, for some reason, some games, he's just, like, real bad. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. If not SGA. If not for SGA.
No, it's fine. Just do SGA. It's fine.
I mean, is there anyone else?
Dude, let's get to Lakers. I gotta go soon.
Okay, let's get to the Lakers. Okay, fine. SGA. We know we all believe the Lakers are the bottom 5 to 10 teams that's gonna make a lot of noise. Okay. The Lakers are freaking amazing right now. The Lakers are freaking amazing. Joe, definitely maybe. Will they be the 6th seed?
Will they be the 6th seed? Oh, I already used my maybe. Yeah, I'm going to go definitely. I'm going to go definitely. They have the easiest schedule.
They have the easiest remaining schedule of the entire NBA.
They look amazing, Cliff.
Their hardest games, their hardest games are two Suns games, but they're not going to have KD.
I mean, they look amazing. Their last 13 games, they're 9-4. This is basically since the trade.
Yep.
Their net rating is 3.9. That's seventh best in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, they look very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And two other things I wanted to say. They're third in defensive rating.
Uh-huh.
And they're third in the in that span in clutch plus minus.
Mm.
They've been very good at the end of games. And actually, they should probably be higher because we should have won that Knicks game. It was like so stupid. I don't know what we were doing at the end. Yeah. Why we let quickly dribble the ball for like 15 seconds. There's like 19 seconds left. You're down two.
Ran it down to six.
You got a foul, obviously. And then they fouled with like 5 seconds left. What the heck? What was that? It was just like a really weird.
They played keep away.
It was nonsensical. D'Lo's looked amazing.
Yeah, Joe, definitely maybe. Has he finally loaded?
He's loaded.
Oh!
D'Loaded. For sure. Cliff, I don't even care about the numbers. You can go over the numbers.
Yeah.
Eye test tells me he's a different player. Ooh. And two, like even that in Minnesota. So you know what's weird? I saw some interviews with him, right? When he got traded, he said that he knew he was going to get traded.
Yeah.
From Minnesota. Like basically the whole season. Like he knew that they didn't want him. Like they wanted to move on from him. I didn't know that. You know, there hadn't been a lot of chatter that D'Lo was going to get moved. It was kind of surprising to me when he got moved.
Yeah.
And so that just tells me that even when he was in Minnesota this season, he wasn't fully there, right? Because if you know you're going to get moved, obviously your heart's not going to be as much in it. When I see him with the Lakers now on this second run, he looks so happy.
Yeah.
Like he has so much joy. When he plays the game, he has so much confidence.
Yes.
He makes very good decisions. I love like the things that he said about I watched a bunch of his post games. Mm-hmm. And like he praised AD after the 8-9 game last Friday.
Yeah.
Where he was like, hey, it's you know, he praised him for his unselfishness.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, so saying that he allowed other players to flourish. He's hitting clutch shots. You know, he's making very timely buckets, good decisions. I don't care about any of those stuff. It just seems like he has matured.
Yeah.
And he is very much prepared. Like it's almost like he appreciates what he lost, right? Because obviously his first stint in LA ended terribly, right? With him losing a lot of not just credibility from the fans, but from like the NBA community, right? Because of the way that it was like this whole kind of snitching thing, right? And because of that, it's like you lose a lot of favor just with people. And then he was a journeyman a little bit. And then I think he learned some things on his other stints, you know, Brooklyn, Golden State, right? And then Minnesota. I think he picked up some things. And now that he's back in LA, I think he really appreciates it.
Yeah.
He knows he has a chance to do something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm 100% on board with, I think this is the best version of D'Lo that he's ever been and probably will like this. He's reaching the pinnacle of who he can be as a basketball player.
You know what this is exactly like, Joe? Mm. D'Lo is Brendan Fraser. He's Brendan Fraser.
Mm.
You know? Doing kind of jokey things, you know, like jokey
movies. What's
that movies.
Movie again? What's that movie?
Encino Man. He did the Mummy.
What's the one with, what's her name? Elizabeth Hurley? The Wishes?
Bedazzled,
yeah.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, is it Bedazzled? Bedazzled.
I think it is Bedazzled. I think that's right.
You know, and you were just like, dude, yeah, I like him, you know? But then he's like exiled for a while. Mm. You lose the Hollywood glamour, right? Mm. But now he's made his triumphant return back to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
wins an Oscar.
As we know, Brendan Fraser won his Oscar. D'Lo, will he get his ring? We don't know. But you see that he's serious. And you see that he's learned. And you see that he's changed. Like something about his change. And he's open to reflecting on the stuff from his previous tenure in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's what Brendan Fraser has done. He's like recapping stuff. D'Lo is 19-4-6, 50%, 44%, 86%. Those are his splits. Like, insane. He's great. Never shot over 53% from the field in a season before, but 43% he's
kind of... In a season. From the field?
From the field. Never.
Wow. I didn't know that.
This is the first time. But you can kind of see, like, from the shots that he takes, you know, like, contested threes, momentum threes.
Right.
Like, those are tough shots to make. So you're going to kind of have to live and die. And when he's making it, it's going to propel a team really far. D'Lo really has changed. He surprised me, like, so much. And if I were the Lakers, I'd probably extend him.
I mean, I would too. I think he's the perfect player to play alongside LeBron and AD because he doesn't. I mean, I said he was a great player to get when we got him because he doesn't have that much ego. Like, he's the perfect level of player. You know, if you get a player who's too good, then it really, you start to clash, right? And if you get a player who's not good enough, you know, you just end up with like a Schroeder, right? If you get a player who's too good, you end up with a Russell. You know, and then it's like you start to get on each other's, step on each other's toes. He's perfect. He can shoot. He can shoot off the ball. He can just play off the ball and just be a shooter, basically, when LeBron's on the court. And then when LeBron's off the court, he can run the offense. And so
it's pretty incredible.
It's perfect.
You had a note when Malik Beasley and D'Lo joined the Lakers, how they made 500 threes during the season. That and the Lakers just with Malik Beasley and D'Lo in the past game, they set a record for the Lakers, 15 threes in the first half.
Malik Beasley can shoot, man. Yeah, he can shoot.
But here's the real test, Joe. If they're going to shock the world, they got to pass the law of LeBron test. That really is a test. Let me throw you some numbers, Joe. AD this season without LeBron, 28-15-2-1-2 on 53%. With LeBron, 25-11-3-1-2 on 58%. Joe, D'Lo, Vanderbilt, and Beasley, who are critical to the new Laker team. Malik Beasley, 13-3 on 39%. With LeBron, 12-4 on 38%. Without LeBron, JV, 8-10-2 on 73%. With LeBron, 7-7-2, 47% without. D'Lo, 21-2-7 on 42%. With LeBron, 22-5-6 on 52% without LeBron. As we've always stated, the law of LeBron. If you're not clear.
Classic law.
If you're not clear. What the law of LeBron means is he pulls everybody to the 75 rating. Every single person. If you're a 90 player, he pulls you down as far as he can to the 75. You get to probably like 83, 84. If you're an 85% player, he brings you down to like 78. If you're a 65, he brings you up to 75. So you'll see Malik Beasley, JV, they play much better with LeBron on the court. Their numbers go up. But D'Lo, 80, numbers go down. And so,
numbers go down.
You know, we've talked about it on this podcast. We talked about it on social. LeBron's been better this season, playing in the flow of the offense, you know, letting others create, doing things to help the plus minus on the floor, even if the record was the same to the previous year. Can he? Will you have faith, Joe? Will you have faith that after 20 years, 20 years of the evidence that he's shown us, that he can be different? He can be different, Joe. Definitely, maybe. LeBron will pass the law of LeBron test.
Definitely not.
Oh, no.
There's no chance.
Oh, no.
I wish there were. If LeBron could pass the test of the law of LeBron this season, I'm not exaggerating, okay? The Lakers could win the championship.
Wow.
Actually, no. I'm sorry. Let me take that back. The Lakers could get to the finals. Mm. That's what I'll say. I don't think they could beat the Bucks in almost any scenario, right, with barring injury. But they could actually get to the the West is wide open. Cliff, Jaws out, Kyrie, Luka out, KD out. That's everybody.
That's
all
everybody.
The best players in the West.
The Clippers have Westbrook. The Warriors, Draymond punched Jordan Poole.
I mean, the Warriors are 7-24 or 25 on the road. I mean, come on. Like, they're messed up. We said it long ago, ever since the punch. We brought it up many, many months ago before anybody else was talking about it.
When they like first happened.
It was like a month into the season, though, Cliff, where we brought it back up. And we were like, what's wrong with them? Like, why aren't things happening or whatever? And it's like, because I don't feel like that. That's really hard to overcome.
Yeah.
You know, punching a guy and then it's Jordan Poole. And look, Jordan Poole has been super up and down this season. There's some games where he's amazing. He looks like Steph out there. There's other games where you see players are frustrated at him.
And there's more games of the bad.
Yeah. And Draymond got frustrated at him and just gave up on the play. But you also saw Steph get frustrated at him earlier this season. Remember, through his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that is not good. And it shouldn't be happening to a team who just came off a championship and has the kind of culture that the
Warriors
have. And has the same team. It just shouldn't happen on that kind of team. So, look, can the Warriors get it together? I'm not saying that it's impossible for them to get it together and make a run in the playoffs. Look, they can.
Of course.
But they are way more vulnerable, okay, than this time last season. And just in general, like, they're vulnerable. The Suns are vulnerable. Mavs are vulnerable. Memphis is vulnerable. When you look at everything that's happened with all the other teams – the Lakers actually look great.
Yeah.
we're ascending. We got better at the trade deadline. And right now we're playing well without LeBron. So putting all that together, it means, you know, past 13 games, we have a great net rating. We're like the second or third defense. We have a great clutch rate. We're like the third best clutch team in plus minus. You put all that together and you say, add LeBron James to that. This is without LeBron. Add LeBron James to that. You're telling me that team can't win a championship?
Yeah.
I mean, they should definitely be in the conversation. But, Cliff, that's only if LeBron can overcome the law of LeBron. Because if he can't, then this D'Lo, this version of D'Lo, it's over. He's going to go back to – it's not going to be 22-5-6, and it's not even going to be 21-2-7 on 42%.
It's only one game of evidence, actually.
Which is the with LeBron, right? It's going to be 17-7-3, you know, on 45% shooting. And that's not the D'Lo that's going to be helpful. We need 22-6-5 on 52% shooting D'Lo. We don't need 17-7-3 on 45% shooting D'Lo. That D'Lo's not good enough.
That's you don't need 30-point LeBron. You honestly need 20-point LeBron.
We need a LeBron. I think we need 25-6-6 LeBron.
I think LeBron has to be fourth quarter LeBron.
Oh.
Not first quarter LeBron. This is something that Phil Jackson coached Kobe on and he coached Michael on. He said, get everybody going early because you can get going anytime.
True.
And that's what he has to employ. And if he gets open shots.
Austin Reeves has looked amazing.
Austin Reeves. Everybody. The whole team is re-energized.
You know why, Cliff? It's because the ball has power.
The ball has power. We've talked about this. Any level of basketball, the ball has power.
You know what's funny, Cliff? In Micah's league, the ball has power. like he would not get the ball sometimes. He'll like practice. He's practicing at home. He practices dribbles, you know, practice shooting. And then he'll get there. And like there's this one kid. And, you know, they don't call traveling. So this kid just like runs end to end. No dribbles. throws the ball up every time, right? And Micah, like, after the first couple weeks, he's like, man, I can't get the ball. He's like, they won't pass the ball. I'm like, open? You know, I tell him and I coach him and I'm like, okay, go to the open spots. He'll go to the open spots. He's wide open. He's like, wouldn't get the ball. Mm-hmm. And it really discouraged him. He's like, I don't want to play anymore. And then, you know, starting the third week, he, like, got the ball. I'm like, if you want to get the ball, you gotta get it. Get a rebound or know, get a steal or something. Nice. So he would, like, you know, and it energized him. You know, and then he started making some shots. You know, he's dribbling down. He's, like, getting on fast breaks and stuff. And it made him feel so much better. He's like, oh, really engaged.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's playing more defense. He's rebounding, like, passing to his teammates. Yeah, because if you just don't touch the ball, you know, you just feel like, what am I doing out here?
It's true.
Even for any level, like you said, Cliff,
any even the, level of basketball,
even the lowest level, the kids, the ball has power. You know, if you're just watching one guy, one kid take all the shots or make all the plays, you know, it's just not energizing.
The reason why we call it the spirit bomb is because it sucks your spirit out. And he uses it as a weapon. He uses it as a weapon.
Know, when Goku saves the world with the spirit bomb,
yeah,
you know what everybody says?
Yeah.
They say, good job, Goku.
Yeah.
They don't say, you know, good job, Gohan. You gave your spirit too.
They don't say, we did it. We collectively are spirits. Thank you, Z Fighters.
Z Fighters. Thank you. You contributed. You contributed.
Nope.
No, that's not how it works.
Nope.
And that's why Vegeta's always in a bad mood.
And that's it, everybody. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Beeples Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace.